Amen? Amen. Well, I get the privilege today to listen to my wife preach. But before we introduce her to preach or teach, I want to share a little bit about what has gone on at the ministry since the last time we were there. So I had to take the notes out. That's not a note. That's a deposit slip for your donation. See my son, Bryce? Stand up, Bryce. Show them you. Stand up, man. Turn around. Bryce grew up in Jamaica. If you want to learn Patois, he'll teach you that. Amen? Anyway, did we throw the first slide up there? Can we throw the first slide up there? Amen. Hello. Oh, there we go. New Beginnings International Training Center, a seed bed for world revival. That's the name of our ministry, and that's what we do. Amen? So go to slide two now. Slide two. Slide two. There, oh, now you've gone to three. There, no, you've gone too far. Back up, back up. They told me that they're not used to PowerPoint, so that's their excuse. Did we get to two? No, we're not at two. They're nice pictures, though, aren't they? I can't go there. Two, you're going the wrong way. There we are, right there. There we are. There's Gabby. Gabby and her sister and her father and mother and two little baby brothers live right across the street from us. And Gabby has graduated from high school with honors. She's on her computer there now getting ready to go to college. What does she want to do in college? Do you know? She wants to be a medical doctor. So pray for Gabby. Come on now. Gabby is a righteous young lady. And she's got a righteous young lady sister. And a great father. You know, it's not often we see families. We see the women with babies and no man. Amen? But here we see a family. A godly father that cares about his children and his wife. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And that's Gabby. We love Gabby. She's on our veranda studying. Can we go to slide two? Three. Right, three. There we are. I have to look at this. Learning the word. The children are learning the word on the left side there. I'm sorry. And on the right side, we sponsor three basic schools. That's like kindergarten. We take care of all their food each year. And that's one of the schools there. And Mary is there with them, preaching at them. They're paying attention, aren't they? Amen. Was that what I was supposed to say? Oh, learning the word. Go to the next one. And to be prayed for. Here, Mary, we had a fun to read on our veranda. Now, this was a totally new experience for me. Three and four-year-olds. And they were from the bush. So my job was to go in the morning. We have a Toyota Voxy. I don't know if you're familiar with that vehicle. It's an eight-passenger vehicle. And I would go and pick the first setup. And they would come to our veranda. And that was an experience with all those little children in that van and one teacher watching them. They would come to our veranda, and in the morning, Mary would teach them, and as you can see, lay hands on them and pray for them. And then there was a little girl there. I can't remember her name. I just have to tell you this, but if I cry, bear with me. And she kept crying, so I grabbed her and I picked her up. Now, this ain't me, you know, I don't usually do that, but I picked her up and she put her head here. So I held her for a little while. I tried to put her down. No, she's not getting down. She's just crying and screaming more. So I went into my living room, my TV room. I have a nice chair there. You know, we all have nice chairs there, right? And I get in the chair with her here. And she cried and cried and cried. And she drooled all over me. Well, that's not something I'm used to. But finally, she fell asleep. So she stayed with me all during the time when she's supposed to be out to fun to read. Then I find out. Now, if you believe in abortion, shame on you. This little girl was a twin. And her little brother died in the womb. And she knew him. She knew him. And she's still grieving over that. And they have an older brother who hasn't talked very much since that happened. So this family needs prayer. You don't need to know her name. You just need to know she's the one that cried in Brother Bob's lap. And anybody that knows me, that's not a usual thing for me. I'm looking forward to seeing her again. Amen? Amen. Then we're into the next one. Here we are having fun and playing games. The guys at the left, we had some of these old bed covers. And Mary got the idea that they could make a soccer goal. So they made the soccer goal. And they played soccer. We call it football in Jamaica. And then in the middle there, they're playing games. And then on the right, every evening at our house, because we have Xbox, every evening we have at least seven young men and these two little girls from across the street come to our veranda rather than to be on the street, rather than to be out there smoking ganja. You know ganja, right? Marijuana. Ganja. They don't want to do that. They want something good. And of course, they love the Xbox. But they come there, and then as the Lord leads, sometimes I'll pray with them. I don't force it. You understand? And the one on the right there is Tariq. Tariq is now 16, 15, something like that. And he goes to one of the schools in the neighborhood. And the one on the left, what's his name? Anyway, these two guys are pretty regular. And they enjoy being around us, and we're just trying to minister to them. Did we get to Solomon? Oh, here we go, the next one. Oh, here we go. Launching into the future. I got this thing messed up here. But the guy on the left is Tariq. Tariq is holding a box full of bags with school supplies. And he's getting ready to take them and give them away. And in the middle is Solomon. And they're doing these egg things where Mary made up these. She puts letters in these eggs. And when you open it up, you can learn to spell words. And then we give them to the basic schools. And that's Solomon. He's one of the young. We have a mentorship program. And as long as they've graduated from high school, we will help them with further education. So we give them money to go to school and those kind of things. And Solomon is now 18, and he's one of the young men that we're helping that way. And then the girl on the right, what's her name, Mary? Alyssa. And Alyssa was helping doing those things, making those things. And now, the next slide. Here we are with our fun to read program with those little kids. And Mary would be better at telling you what they're doing there, but they're learning how to read. Amen? And you see how little they are? Right. And up there in the left-hand corner is one of the young ladies who comes and helps from the States. Next one. And to launch into the future. On the left, you see a guy named, we call him Papa. That's his pet name. And he now is graduated from what they call the Heart Academy as a welder. So he's working at a welder, but he lives at our house. And then the guy behind him is Javon. And Javon, we've been working with Javon for many, many years. Of course, he's graduated out of our program now. And he's working at a restaurant called the Pelican. Now, to get a job at that restaurant is only God that gets you that job. And how many people know of waiters that have worked at one restaurant for 40 years? That must be something good there. And that's where he's working now, and we went there to have him serve us. And then in the middle is Ramondo and Amaya. Ramondo is one of our graduates who is now living in Lancaster, and that's his wife, Amaya. They just got married, and now they're getting ready to have their first baby. Amen? Amen. And there's Papa again in his graduation outfit. Okay, next. And then, I'm not going to read that. You can read that. But that says Youth Hope Infusion. And we're going to have that again in July, from July 8th, for 2 weeks. And we'll have 35 to 40 teenagers, boys and girls, come to our veranda. And then Mary will minister to them, teach them. They will have classes in the morning, Bible classes in the morning, learn the word. And in the afternoon, they will be learning crafts, learning how to make different things that they can sell to help them with their own finances. Amen? You can clap now. And I just want to say we appreciate this church. We've been a part of this church for who knows how many years. And a young woman here tell me she came as a little girl twice to our ministry. And you have been great to us, great supporters. Keep praying for us that we, as we evolve into new things, God will give us that which to do it with. Amen? Amen. Here's my wife, Mary.
Am I on? Just have to get hooked up here. Thank you, honey. It was great. Thank you. He did a great job, didn't he? Amen.
You're in for something now. Yeah. Hold on.
Well, it is good to be here and to share. And the title of my message is Arise and Go. Are you a Jonah or are you a Philip? So we're going to find out as you reflect on what I'm sharing, if you can identify with either one of those or your own person in the Lord. But Jonah and Philip were two men in the Bible who were both told to arise and go by God. His exact words to them. And we can learn from them how we're to respond to God when he gives us an instruction. But first we have to look at that word, arise. Because he said, arise and go. So the word arise appears 235 times in the Bible. So it must be an important word. It must be an important concept. Because anytime God in his word repeats himself, he is emphasizing the importance of it. Now, I have a friend, in fact, she was here with the Jamaican ladies that I brought a couple years ago, if people remember that, Dr. Winsome Oban. And she says she knows it's God when he speaks to her and confirms it three times. That's just her relationship with the Lord. She knows when he says something three times, she's absolutely certain that that's God speaking to her. And I even thought repetition when God wants us to hear something. I was laughing with Pastor D because I went on your website to find out the time of the service. And I saw that she preached last Sunday on going. And I thought, wow, your Christian fellowship, God really wants you to hear something this morning. So we look at that word arise, and in Hebrew, which is the Old Testament, it's a word called kumi, and it means to ascend, to mount up, to move to a higher place. I'm thrilled with your praise and worship because I believe you've moved to a higher place in your worship. I heard and experienced the difference. You're moving to a higher place. You are arising and mounting up to meet the Lord. And in the Greek, arise means agiro, and it means to awaken, to arouse from sleep, to stand up. You stand up after you've been lying down or you've been kneeling. Maybe you've been asleep. Maybe you've been sick. Maybe you've been mourning, but you have been prone. And you change your position for a purpose. You are making a move out of inaction to going somewhere to take action. I have to tell you that you cannot go until you wake up and change position. And I'll give you an example. Now, Kimarley didn't come. Our second son is Kimarley Michael. A lot of you have met him. And Kimarley, our son, has always been a deep sleeper. He's such a deep sleeper. We went in the apartment yesterday, was it yesterday? And we couldn't wake him. And this was pretty late in the morning. He would not awaken. He's always been like that, a very deep sleeper. Since the day he came to us at 2 years old, he would love to lay on the couch or lay in the room with us, and he would go to sleep there. And then later on, we would say, wake up, Kimarley, you need to go to your bed. So the older he got, the more difficult it was to arouse him. Believe me, he was not going anywhere without a fight to wake up. And sometimes we just had to let him there. He got so big. If you saw him now, he's bigger than Bryce. And he's the tallest guy in the family. And he's very hard to rouse. Ephesians 5:14 says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And I love what the message says as it interprets this. You know what it says? It says, climb out of your coffins. I mean, get a hold of that one. Climb out of your coffins until you arise and call upon the name of God. You will never receive true light. You cannot be illuminated without Jesus, and you can't be an illuminator without Jesus. It's being filled with Him that gives you light. Christ in you. Christ gives you light. We sang that in the song there. A light in the darkness. A light in the darkness. God's intention is that we would be light in the darkness. That we would be so full of Him that we would be the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, but if each one of us has Jesus in us and we're filled with Him, then we become the light in the darkness and the light in the world. You know, Bryce, he has an urban loft apartment in Lancaster. It's in a redevelopment factory building, and it's next to the F&M campus. And the entire living room wall is windows from about waist up. And if I'm lying on the couch, I just see the brick walls on the bottom third of the wall. But if I stand up, this entire panoramic vista surrounds me. The playing fields all around the campus buildings, the grass, the train line beyond that, and the skies. Oh my goodness, when it snows, you just see it. When the sun is shining, you just see it. It's just this panoramic view. But we have to move to a higher place. I have to stand up. We have to move to a higher place in God. We sang there, increase our faith. Our faith is rising. We increase our faith levels, and we ask for revelation, so that we can see the events that are unfolding and the circumstances around us from His perspective. We have to get the bigger picture. Just like I get up off His couch and look out there, I have a totally different picture than the little apartment with the brick wall. We have to get God's perspective. So if there is a message to this church in America, now I live in Jamaica, and God is proclaimed there, and faith is growing there, and revival is breaking out, and miracles are happening. And I come to America, and I think, oh, America, America. The now word for us is climb out of your coffins and let the life and light of Christ increase in you. He is giving a call to the church for resurrection power. That's what he wants for us. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the power that is at work in us and through us. And so he wants us to bring his body, the body of Christ, out of the coffin and work in and through us to do greater works than have ever been done or that he ever did while he was here on earth. That's his vision for us. How do we get there? What do we do? For what purpose are we to arise? Well, to know that, you have to know God's heart. You have to know God's heart and his purpose. He loves all people. And when I say all, I mean all. A-L-L, capital letters, all people. And he desires to show them mercy based on repentance. He wants to share his forgiveness and his mercy so that none should perish. That's his heart. He loves all people. He'll give you every chance to repent, and then he will show you mercy and forgiveness, and he wants none to perish. He wants all of us in eternity. And I think about this with where we are because, as an example, I've been reading testimonies and reports that are coming out of the Middle East. And ISIS fighters and some of the extremists that are there have been having encounters with Jesus, who is showing himself to them as a man dressed in white. They're actually talking about this man who's dressed in white. And he's coming to them in dreams. He's coming to them in visions. And there are supernatural, undeniable ways that he's showing himself to them. Now, they don't necessarily know who he is, but it has caused them to seek. It has caused them to find answers. Who is this man who's showing up to us dressed in white? And some of them are finding Jesus. You see, God doesn't see people the way we do. We would look at an ISIS fighter who has beheaded and killed everybody and gruesome, and we would not see them the way God sees them. God's love is not based on what we deserve. It's based on his choices. He is love. He chooses to love us. And so Genesis 12:3 says, all nations of the earth would be blessed through the covenant of Abraham. There is nowhere on this earth that he does not want them to find out who he is. The purpose of God telling us to arise and go is to bring people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not into a religious system. It is not to be churched. Now, we all have loved ones, and I've fallen prey to this. I know Bob has fallen prey to this. We say to loved ones that are not going, you should go to church. You should be in church. Why are you not in church today? You need to go to church. Or we invite people, come to church. But we're not, it's not for church. That's not what it's about. It's not to be an exclusive religious club. That's not what church is. It is to meet the risen Lord and then partner with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and become living stones to build the kingdom of God. That's why you're here. It's that you know the risen Lord and you say, Lord, I want to partner with you. We're going to partner together and we're going to advance the kingdom of God and we're going to see your glory fill this whole earth. That's what you come for, to be a vital participant in his end time plans. I just read this morning in my devotion from Rick Renner. I get Rick Renner's devotions. I just love his research and teaching. And he was saying the very last thing before Jesus returns is that all the earth would hear the gospel. That the gospel would be preached in all the earth. And so naturally, he wants us to be the participant in that plan. We are created for the praise of his glory and the revelation of Jesus and his power to save and heal and restore comes by signs and wonders and miracles that are worked in us, that are worked through us. That's what God wants today. On Wednesday night, I went with my sister-in-law and saw the movie. How many people here have seen the movie Breakthrough? Anybody? One person? Oh, the whole church has to go see the movie. I don't want to give the whole thing away, but it's a true story of a mother in St. Louis area. And her son, her adopted son from Guatemala, falls through the ice with some friends and he drowns. And he is dead for an hour. And they only kept working on him till the mother could get to say her goodbyes. But she didn't say goodbye. She believed the impossible against all odds. And she would not accept anything else from anybody, that her son was dead, but that he was going to rise. And she had her faith met. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to stand on his word, on his promises, believe for the miraculous. When everybody else tells you that's impossible, you believe that it is possible. It takes one mother, one person that can see that come to pass, that everybody now, the doctors say, there's no other reason this boy is alive and well, and now he's becoming a pastor himself, is that it is the miracle of God. So go see Breakthrough. Now I want to look at these two men, Jonah and Philip. Now Jonah is only four chapters in the Bible. I'm not going to read you that word because most of us all know the story. We grew up in Sunday school and we learned about Jonah. We know all about him. And if you want to check the details, then you go read the four chapters of Jonah. But when you read that, you realize that Jonah was very strong-willed. He was pretty fretful. He was pouting. He was a pouter. He was hasty in his response and decisions. He was clannish, but he was a loyal lover of Israel. He was a committed patriot. He was a strong nationalist with religious pride. And he was aware of the Assyrians. Now, we know Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And the Assyrians played havoc on Israel. They were cruel. They were gruesome. They did everything they can towards Israel to destroy it. They were the enemy. And so his natural desire would be to see them lose their power, to see them decline, to see them receive severe judgment for all of these atrocities. And his fear would have been that God's mercy toward Nineveh would have extended or prolonged the bad treatment of Israel. So in other words, Jonah hated the Assyrians and the enemy, and he wanted the worst for them. But God loved them. He was grieved by their sin, and he wanted to give them a chance at salvation. God wanted the best for them. And it's not unlike today with the challenges that we have in forgiveness, in loving our enemies, in praying for our enemies, in believing the best for our enemies. So when God gave Jonah these instructions, go to Nineveh and preach against it, for its wickedness has come up before me. Jonah's insides must have screamed, no! No way. No way. I'm not doing that. Why do you want me to do that? His own attitude was devoid of any compassion. He didn't have it. And his resistance was a barrier to the demonstration of God's truth and love to those people. He knew inside himself that if he gave that word and they repented, God would show them mercy. And he didn't want them to have God's mercy. So what did he do? He got on that boat and he was headed to the furthest part of the known world, Tarshish. That was the last point in that known world. And that's where he was headed. And his thinking, and the word says this, is that he would escape the presence of the Lord. That he would avoid the spirit of prophecy that was coming to him and wanted to speak through him. And he would get away from it. Wrong. Not. Psalm 139, 7 to 10 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizon, that's as far as the east is from the west, which never ends," he says, "you'd find me in a minute. You're already there waiting. You're already there waiting." And indeed, God was. He was already waiting, because he was waiting with the whale for the perfect timing to swallow Jonah in his distress. And he was waiting for the perfect place and the perfect time to regurgitate him back onto the land. Incidentally, if anybody doubts that this story could be true, I don't know if you saw the news recently. We were looking at the pictures. There was a group of fishermen, and they were in the waters, and there was one particular fisherman, and a whale came up. And you know, they open their mouth and they just swim along and swallow what's in there. And he got swallowed. We get the New York News in Jamaica. All you could see out of this whale's mouth was this fisherman's feet dangling. And from about here up, he was inside the whale's mouth. Now, the whale released him for some reason, and they got him back on board the boat. But he was giving the story of that, and he said it was dark and smelly in there. And I thought, wow, if people don't believe that a whale could swallow Jonah, go ask that fisherman what happened to him. So let's not be so stubborn in our own will and our own short-sightedness that we end up in our own belly of the whale experience. Let's not walk in fear of what we think God is doing or what we think he's going to do or not doing. We try to second guess him, but let's surrender. Let's surrender in humility and trust that he loves all people and he wants the best for us. And so I surrender it all because you have my best in mind. Anything he asks us to do can only lead to victory and the fulfillment of the bigger picture. If we're trusting him and we're surrendered, and I say, "My times are in your hands. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go." It can only lead to victory. It can only lead to fulfillment of the bigger picture. So when Jonah was given the second chance, although reluctantly, he did obey and he delivered that message. When you read it, I mean, he walked through the town and just delivered the message that God gave him. And more than 620,000, some people say up to 900,000 people that were in the metropolis area around Nineveh, because it was one of the largest urban areas of that time, repented. Including the king, repented and were saved from destruction through God's compassion and change of mind at their repentance. But it took Jonah's obedience. Now let's jump over to Philip now. Let's compare a little bit to Philip's response. If you go to Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, you can look at this now or later, follow me, but it's Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. And I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about how I see what's happening here. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is desert. Now, there were several things that jumped out. That's one verse. But there were several things that jumped out at me. The first one is this. Philip was in a position to hear. He was in a position to hear from the Lord. He was one of the seven original deacons that were chosen to do the food distribution to all the people. That was his job. And in the previous verses, right before this section, he was preaching Jesus in Samaria, and they were having a revival. God was moving. Jesus was being revealed. And he had four daughters who were prophetesses. This man was actively serving and in service to the Lord. He was where it was at with the church. The second thing I noticed is that the angel did not tell him what he was going for. See, Jonah, he told him, "I want you to go here. This is what I want you to say. This is why I'm sending you, why I'm doing this." And he gave him all the details. But he gave Philip no details. Philip didn't need to know the whys. You see, that's where we need to get. Where we don't need to know the whys. We don't need to know the details. We sang a song in worship that had to do with that. Because he had a willingness to do whatever the Lord wanted him to do. To go wherever he wanted him to go. It didn't matter if he was at home with a family member, if he was next door with a neighbor, if he was at work, if he was at school, he was across town, he was on the other side of the country, he was on the other side of the world. It didn't matter. Philip was a willing vessel. So here am I. That's what we want to say. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me. Doesn't mean go to Jamaica. It doesn't mean to go to Iraq or Iran. It means to go wherever he wants you to go. It could be just a matter of walking across the street. But here am I. Send me. Are we that willing? Do we offer ourselves freely? We sing this song that says, "Use me for your glory, Lord. All that I am, all that I've been, all that I've ever experienced, here I am. Use me for your glory." And we sing that. Do we really mean that? And the last thing in this verse that I noticed was that the angel told him, this is desert. Philip was to leave this place of fruitfulness, of success, and go to a dry place, a dry desert road. It was a 50-mile journey that was filled with dangers. There was thieves hiding in the rocks. There were wild beasts. There was extreme heat. There were rocks. There was peril. And he could have taken an easier road, but he had a command directly from the throne room of God. Now, some of us may be led to a desert road, to a desert place for a higher purpose. Have you ever asked the Lord, "Open my eyes, Lord. Open my eyes and let me see the desert places. Let me have your heart of compassion and open my eyes to the desert places, the desert road." He's begun to do that with me as I've asked him. And I, on a Sunday morning when we were at the wedding and we didn't have a church to go to, and we went out for breakfast, and it suddenly dawned on me that all these people having breakfast weren't in church. And it just dawned on me, oh, wow, all these people don't know the Lord. Or you go into the airports and you look at the bars in the airports and people sitting there and you think, oh, wow, these people, do they know the Lord? And Walmart, you go in Walmart and you walk around and you think, wow, do these people know the Lord? I mean, it's endless if he opens your eyes to see the desert. But what Philip did, in verse 27, it says, so he arose and went. Instant obedience. No questions. He was in step with the Spirit. And it says, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace the queen, who had charge of all her treasury. He was the money man for the country, for Ethiopia. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Now, what amazes me in these two stories is that there were 900,000 people in the city of Nineveh that was a target of God's love for Jonah. There was one man who was the target for Philip. God orchestrated this miraculous divine appointment for one man sitting alone in his chariot on a lonely desert road seeking truth. How great is God's love? How great is his love, whether it's for one man or whether for it's a million. Numbers don't matter. Obedience matters. God knows the heart. So the next thing that happened in verse 30 is Philip ran to him. Now, I love this because God didn't say, run over to that chariot. He said his instructions were, go near. But Philip ran. I love that because Philip had an anticipation. He had an expectancy of an appointment with God. He knew there was purpose. And so he knew God was going to do something. And so he ran to the chariot. I love that. He had an expectancy of God showing up. Do we go into situations or places and say, God, I'm expecting you to show up here. You've sent me here to this place. I'm expecting you to show up. I'm going to run inside. I can't wait to see what you're going to do. And then he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. Now, in those days, they read out loud. They didn't read in their head. Everybody read out loud. So he was reading out loud so Philip could hear it. And so Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless somebody guides me? As great as that man was, he's the queen's financial officer. It would be comparable to the head of the Federal Reserve. Or the cabinet officer with commerce, or the office of the budget. Or in Jamaica, we have a minister of finance. As important as that position was, he understood his need to have a teacher, to have an advisor, to have a counselor. Too many people think that they know it all, and they don't need that. They don't need advice. They don't need correction. But this man of authority was seeking truth, and he knew he needed help. And so he asked Philip to climb up in the chariot with him and come sit with me and ride with me. Listen, don't get intimidated by who God may lead you to. Because Philip was just an ordinary apostle. Most of the men that followed Jesus, they were not of these high governmental positions. And he was an ordinary guy. Filled with Jesus, filled with the truth, who had the answers that this man needed. So if you are filled with the Lord, don't be surprised who he takes you to, who he has you share with. Don't get intimidated by that. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before a shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And so the eunuch answered Philip, and he said, I ask you, who's this prophet talking about? What is this prophet saying? Is he talking about himself or some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth. When God leads you to a person, don't be afraid if you know everything or you don't know everything. Open your mouth And when you open your mouth, God will fill it. He will give you the right words to say. And so that's what happened. If you are willing to open your mouth, He will fill it, and He will anoint those words that come out your mouth. And the other thing that I noticed here is that Philip began where the eunuch was. He didn't try to lay everything he knew about the Bible on him. He didn't tell him everything he'd learned in his class. He listened for where the man's heart was. Where's this man's heart? And then I'm going to go right where his heart is and bring him along. And so he began where the eunuch was. And so I love this. It says, now as they went down the road and they came to some water. Now remember, this is desert. This is a desert road. This is our great, awesome God. The Lord knew and had prepared the resource of water that was going to be needed at the exact moment that man chose to believe and wanted to be baptized. God had a pool of water that they could get down out of the chariot and go get baptized. You see, nothing is impossible for our God. Nothing. Even water in the desert. And so the eunuch said, look, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And then Philip said, well, if you believe with all your heart, you may. I love that song we sang. I believe. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded his chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, which says that it was a deep pool because they were in it, and he came up out of it, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch received and went on his way back to Ethiopia rejoicing. And Philip was found at a place called Azotus, passing through, and preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Philip had the privilege, and it is a privilege. We need to pray and be alert to the Holy Spirit detours. He took a detour of divine purpose. He was preaching, he was having success, and God said, go do this. And so he went and did that. And immediately when the purpose was fulfilled, he was translated back to where he was from. It was a detour of divine purpose. And a lot of commentaries say that the eunuch then went back and was the first African church, and he began to develop the gospel in Africa. And Philip translated to the new place of service. That assignment was complete. The moment it was complete and that man was baptized, he was back on the job where he came from, a detour of divine purpose. So what is our assignment? Well, Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3 says this, and this can be our logo word that we read, we know the word. It can be our rhema word. I believe it's a rhema word for the church today, now, today. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. You see, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you, and nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. So if I had to put a phrase on all of that, I would say, get up and light it up. Get up and light it up. Now, you know, there's enough of the political correctness. As Winston Churchill said to England, this is our finest hour. This is the church's finest hour. Please get a grip and understand, this is our finest hour. And so I thought, how can I show you people what I mean by get up and light it up? So I went to my trusty store. Does anybody know what this is? A glow stick. And I thought, you know, everything he asks of us, he has already given us. There's nothing that we lack because Jesus, the personification of his glory, is the treasure inside of us. And so all I have to do with this glow stick, because everything it needs to light is inside it, all it has to do is break a little, shake a little, shake it up, break it up, okay? And we have this, and let it out. It's already in us, just like the glow stick. It's in us. Break it, activate it, shake it up, and go. Be the light of the world. If you sit on it, it's got no glory. It's got no light. The room is going to stay as dark as it was before. It, you know, last night, I was kind of practicing with these glow sticks. I was trying to test my illustration. And when we turned out the lights to go to bed and it was pitch dark, and I looked across the room and this thing was glowing. And, you know, your eyes are drawn to it. So the darker something is, the brighter the light shines. We have to understand that in these end times and the things that are coming, it's not a pretty picture. There's going to be some darkness over the people. There's going to be things that are happening. But we need to realize, okay, God said this was going to happen, and we're the light. And when I looked across my hotel room, that was the only thing I saw, was this light. And I was drawn to it. That's us. That's the light of Jesus in us. You have it. Their light has come into you and received Jesus. So then what else struck me is that I went into the Walmart and I thought, okay, I have to get some of these glow sticks. And they had a whole wall. I mean, I'm from Jamaica. You know, we might have a few little glow sticks, but this was a whole wall. Some of them were glasses that you put on. Some of them were necklaces. That's what this one was supposed to be. Some of them were masks. They had glow balls. They had glow party packs. I mean, there were all these glows. And you know what struck me? And they had bracelets. Struck me was that that's us. You know, Pastor D., she's not like me. You know, Bob, he's not like me. But we all have the same light. So whether you're an eyeglass and a mask or a bracelet or a necklace or you're throwing a glow ball, I mean, we all have different views on the outside and we function differently. But it's the same light of Jesus inside of us. We all have the same Jesus. That was just a beautiful revelation. And then the other thing is that I noticed, because last night I got out, I bought this party pack. And I thought, okay, they came with connectors. Some stuff was in the party pack. I still don't know what it was. But these have connectors on them. And so you can connect with other ones. So I can put this one in there. And I can put this one in here. Oops, that one doesn't have a connector. You see that? If you don't have a connector, you're not getting connected. You need a connector. And I put that in there, and the light grows. The light spreads. Now, last night in the hotel room, I accidentally had one little spot like that. It broke, and it showed some light. I thought, ooh, I think I can still use that if it's just that little piece. So I went to bed, and I got up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom, and the whole thing was glowing. And I said, that spread. The light spread. Fire spreads. So even though I had just a little piece, by morning it had spread to the entire glow stick. And I thought, that is like the church. Be yourself, but be filled with Jesus. Do whatever God says to do, but be filled with Jesus. Connect with other people. Connect with other churches. I know Pastor Sherry. I see her and she does different things with the youth and joins up with different things with the youth. Connect, because the light grows and it spreads. And that will be the light in the darkness. That is going to be what people are drawn to. The Word says that His glory will fill the whole earth, and that He is returning for a glorious bride. It starts by activating your glow stick. You're the glow stick. Amen. Amen. So I wanted to close with, now if we turn out the lights, you could probably see this a lot better. Also different colors. Different colors. Doesn't matter what color we are, where we hail from. But before I do something that I feel like God has told me to do to end, I want to know, is there anybody here that you don't know that you have Jesus in you that you can activate as the light of the world? If you're not sure that you're saved, can you just raise a hand and we're going to pray with you? I'm not going to have an altar call, people coming up, but if you aren't certain that Jesus lives in you, that He is your Savior and Lord, that He is the light that is in you and just waiting to come out, will you raise your hand? Is there anybody? So we're all saved. We all have the light of Jesus in us. Then the second thing I feel like the Lord has said to do is that we are to connect. Just like the glow sticks and the connectors. So I want everyone to stand up and I want you to connect with another's hand, even if you have to move out. Even if you have to move out. You are the glow stick and you have a connector and you are connecting with the body of Christ. Everybody has to have everybody's hand. Let's do this, and I am going to pray over this church. All right. Everybody? Father God, we thank You of how much You love us. We thank You that You indeed are the sovereign God. You do have a plan. You are the one who directs the earth and its history and puts in place what needs to happen to fulfill Your prophecy and Your plans. And Lord, we believe that this is the finest hour for Your body, for Your church, that You want us to be so filled with You, to be so overflowing with the presence of Jesus, that we will be the light of the world, that we will be the light of the darkness, that we will not be in fear or anxiety over the things that happen around us. We take authority over every spirit of fear that would try to come upon people. And I thank You, Lord, that each one of us will know that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. And if we would activate You in our lives and release Your presence in this earth and connect with other believers, that truly we would become the glorious bride of Christ that You will return for. And so, Father, we thank You. As our lights shine, You will draw the lost to us. You will bring them into the church, not for the church, but to meet You and to become connected through these connectors, that we will build the kingdom of God here on earth. Lord, Come quickly. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And let your church be your church. In the name of Jesus, I pray that no one leaves this church this morning the same. That each and every person that is connected with another hand will know that they have the light of Christ in them. And they will go out a different person than when they came in here today. In Jesus' name, we all agree. And we say together, amen. 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 Get this. Oh, okay. Amen. Phew, that was awesome. John chapter 1, verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot extinguish it. You guys cannot be extinguished. Though I know that there's a Satan that just loved to tell you, oh, well, you're not good enough. You cussed today, so you can't share Jesus. Baloney. You have a light, and it needs to be shared. And we are called. You are anointed. And all you have to do every morning is say, Father God, here am I. Send me. Father God, here am I. Send me. And I don't know how many times I've just stepped out of my comfort zone and just locked eyes with somebody, and I just kind of stirred up a little conversation and just shared just Jesus. And they said, boy, I was waiting for somebody like you. So praise God. Hey, can I have the ushers that will come up front? I'd like to give you an opportunity, no pressure, but I'd like to give you an opportunity to sow into the ministry of Bob and Mary Holland. We make our checks out to YCF, and then on Tuesday we do all our accounting. Praise God. I got a team that comes in. But they're good ground, guys. Known them for a long time. Hurricane Gilbert, that's when I met y'all. Yep, we came in afterwards. 1988. Wow, that was just like yesterday. So I've watched. Yeah, amen. I've watched them. Their roots grow deeper. Their tent pegs go wider. I've watched change in how we do things, but their light still continues to shine bright. So if you'd like to support their ministry today, please just go ahead. We're going to pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for these precious ones. Thank you for Bob and Mary Holland. I thank you, Father, for their love. I thank you, Father, that you have called them and placed them. They've answered their call. And I thank you, Father, that their light goes brighter. Their tent pegs go wider. The favor goes before them and surrounds them. I thank you, Father, for bigger and newer places to walk through. I thank you, Father, for just a supernatural strength. I thank you for eyes that see. In Jesus' name, amen. And I thank you for all that were sowing into this, hallelujah, their ministry, praise God. If you'd like to talk to Bob and Mary, you guys want to hang up front, hang up back. They'll hang up a front. They'll hang up front. You can chit-chat with them. Amen. Hey, did you guys get blessed? Yeah, that was good. That was really good. I want to say arise and go. Amen. Arise and go. And I like it. You know, my go is not to Jamaica. Bad hair day all the time in Jamaica. My go is your county. And I don't know where your go is, but God knows where you're to go. And it's the places that you cross every day. So let's all stand up. Father, I thank you for everybody here. They are the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. They are blessed going in, blessed going out to all the places you send them. I thank you that their light is broken and arising and going forth in Jesus' name. Please come and talk to Bob and Mary. Don't forget to sign up for Workday and have a great week.